We will have Wayne Yu.
Well, hey, Wayne, I'm an addict.
Hey, Wayne.
And, man, it's a pleasure and an honor to stand anywhere before those who are just like me and to be able to share honestly and truthfully, look you in the eye and kind of just share with you about who I am. And what has become of my life. Let me just kind of share something, especially if you're a newer member, right? This is really about the 11th tradition, right? Personal anonymity. That's what it's really about, right? And, like, we fooled you, I guess, you know, because we usually, I know for me, right, going to conventions early on, the topics was what, like, I gravitated towards, you know, so you hear stuff like Killer on the Loose and, you know, I want to hear some drama. You know what I mean? And that's just my experience, right? And I know that I'm really not alone because that's just how we are, you know? And that's okay. You know, that's fine, you know, but you've been fooled. We tricked you. Jody, we got him. You know, you're in a tradition meeting, you know? And for those of you who knew, what that implies to me is that you must be really serious about your recovery, you know, because when you go to a tradition meeting, a meeting that's service-oriented or that really addresses your behavior or conduct, you got to be serious about wanting to change, you know, because that's what we do in Narcotics Anonymous. We take our lives and we adapt them to some principles, and we change against our permission. So I'm just here to tell you, man, and I'm happy to be here. You know, if you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, welcome. Welcome to CPR CNA 18, because this is an awesome convention. Are y'all having a good time? Let me just ask you that. Are we enjoying ourselves? You know, I don't know if you noticed, right, but we were sitting up here, and Jody and I were kind of laughing and, you know, just kind of enjoying ourselves and being who we are to the best of our ability just for the day. Because I might be somebody else tomorrow, or an hour from now, I might be somebody else. You understand, Cliff? You know what I'm saying? You know, because I remember when I got here, it wasn't a damn thing funny, first of all. It was nothing funny about being here with you people. You know, and I need to make that real clear because I'm special in the first place. You know, and our second tradition talks about, like, we are thrusted together. Thrusted. That means we are forced to be here. So I was forced to do a four-step. I was forced to take an honest look at myself. You know, and let me just share with you, like, when I share what I've learned to do, you know, I'm one of them recovering addicts who have learned to pray. That's not a requirement for you to be here. That's just what I choose to do. You know, and the 11th step kind of points us in that direction, you know, so I kind of follow direction today. You know, and what I do, I always pray, you know, and get out of the way, because stuff like this can be an ego-feeding proposition for most of us. You know, and I have to tell you that clearly today, Brian, I'm clear that this is really not me. You know, even though eventually my will become, you know, God's true will for myself, because I really just want to be the best person I can be, but I'm not free of judgment. I'm not free of egotism. I'm not free of image. You know, I've gotten a lot better. So, like, I got to tell you, man, that, like, when we talk about personal anonymity, you know, there's a hint of humility in that, you know, meaning that I'm willing to do something for Jody and not tell you about it. You know, I'm willing to do something for King and not tell you about it. I'm talking about the hint of humility, because personal anonymity really is mine. I do with it as I choose to do with it. But let me just tell you what anonymity, in accordance with the dictionary, means: nameless. Let me just say that again, because I'm going to take that somewhere in a minute, right? Because we're talking about, like, our traditions, and we, when you talk about, you talk about groups, you know, and actually the 11th tradition is really for how we deal with, like, the outside, you know what I mean, our public policy, you know, that's really what it's about. But it goes a lot deeper, because it speaks to every individual member. So anonymity does, in fact, mean nameless, right? But in Narcotics Anonymous, we take it a little bit deeper, just a little bit. You know, we take anonymity, right, and it puts us all together. Right, all of us come. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it to you. I'm not even going to make it up, because I can make it up if I want to. right? But I'm not going to make it up today. And by the way, you know, I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a work of knowledge of the steps and traditions and our concepts. And what I've learned to do is go to the book because I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. Sandra, sometimes I don't know. No matter how long I've been clean. You know, my clean day is November the 5th, 1996. And I still don't know, you know. But what I do know is I know how to surrender, you know. So this tradition that we're talking about, the 11th tradition, as I said, is really about our public policy. But I just wanted to kind of read some stuff. And this is the wrong book and the wrong page. This is actually just for the day daily meditation. I think it's on page 375, if I'm not mistaken. And it kind of tells me a little bit deeper about what this is all about. It says that the word anonymity itself means namelessness, but there's a larger principle at work in the anonymity of the NA program. The principle of selflessness means thinking about Wayne less. When we admit our powerlessness to manage our own lives, we take our first step away from self-will and our first step towards selflessness. The less we try to run our lives on self-will, the more we find the power and direction once so sorely lacking in our lives, as in my inability to admit that I don't know. But the principle of selflessness does a lot more than just make us feel better. It helps us live better. Our ideas of how the world should be run begin to lose their importance, and we stop trying to impose our will on everyone and everything around us. And when we abandon our know-it-all pretensions, Wayne, and start recognizing the value of other people's experience, we start treating them with respect. The interests of others become as important to us as our own. We start to think about what's best for the group rather than just what's best for us. We start living a life that's bigger than we are. That's more than just us, our name, ourself. We start living the principle of anonymity. So I kind of had to share that with you for a lot of different reasons. And one of them is, in Narcotics Anonymous, we share our experience, strength, and hope. Now, so we don't come and tell you about no theory. I don't want to hear your theories. I want to know your actual experiences. You know, and what I've learned, in order to get in touch with traditions, you kind of violate them first, because that's how we learn. You know, we do stuff our own way, Wayne. You know, and I was just kind of reflecting back, you know, it's always about not using. So let's just make that really, really clear. You know, drugs have become a major problem for me, Jody. That's why I'm here. You know, that's why I showed up here. And what I found out was that drugs were really just a symptom. So I kind of knew something about anonymity and, you know, in my active addiction. I did. You know, because when I did wrong, I didn't want you to know what my name was. Right? I don't know about you. That was just my way. Because I don't know about, I broke laws. I had criminal activity going on in my life. I don't want nobody to know my damn name. I want it definitely to be nameless. You know what I mean? So I don't know about you. I grew up with names like Winky Dink. Right? I'm trying to share with you, right? So they used to call me Shorty. You know, all that kind of stuff, right? Anonymity. That was my personal anonymity. And I might, you know, especially if I seen a nice girl I like, I might be anybody's name. You know, because I just want what I want, and when it don't happen right, I can blame it on somebody else. You know, so I'm kind of clear on what that was all about. But when I got clean and started to recovery, anonymity took on a different persona, if you will. It took on a different meaning. It became more spiritual. You know, and the literature was talking about, like, how the know-it-all pretensions and, you know, forcing my will on people. And I got to, like, share with you about, like, my service experience with the group, you know. Because one of the things that I can share with you is that, like, service keeps me clean. You know, service keeps me plugged in. Service keeps me with so many people around me that I can't get away with nothing. So I just stopped trying. You know, because that's too many of y'all. Sandra, damn, you know what I'm saying? Too many of y'all are always looking. Y'all mind y'all damn business, you know. And the truth be told, the literature said we the ears and the eyes for each other. You know what I mean? So we're supposed to watch each other, Jody. We're supposed to hug each other. We're supposed to love each other. And we're supposed to pull each other up. Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about moralizing with a person, because there's not an individual in here that don't have issues. I'm not talking about my issues being bigger or larger, and that nothing to do with that, but we're here to care for each other. Third step talks about being in the care of And you don't have to believe in a God. That's not what we require here. Just be in the care of the principles of the program. Be in the care of the group. You know, and like my group experience, like early on, I remember as a newer member being a GSR, you know, at a home group. And like they said, man, you just go in and we're going to have a business meeting. We're going to tell you what to do. And I'll go to area. And I did it my way. I made a decision. See, you service people probably know what I'm talking about, right? You know, and I remember like voting on a motion my way. Now, let me tell you the hit, right? Because my sponsor was a real informed member of Narcotics Anonymous. So when I get back to the group, now none of the group members were at this meeting, right? Man, they wore me out. I mean, them guys went up one side and down the other. And I'm talking about a loving, caring kind where nobody hit me with a bat or none of that kind of stuff or threw no chairs, you know. But the hit was this, right? I kept saying, how'd they find out? I mean, how did they know that, right? Now, here's the real hit. Even through all of that, what they did, they still loved me enough to say, now I'll go back and do it again. They loved me, Brian. They said, now I'll go back and you can do it again. You know what I mean? And that was like my second tradition experience. You know what I mean? Because like, you know, my responsibility is to be your conscience. That's what I'm supposed to do. It has nothing to do with what I think, what I feel, whether I like you or I don't. It has nothing to do with that. I am your conscience. I go and do as I'm told. Our literature says that it ain't about asking a lot of questions. It's just about following direction. You know, so I kind of like learn and start learning how to like follow direction, you know. And I got to tell you, man, you know, I was just thinking about so many different experiences that y'all have given me. I'm talking about like y'all just like have made room for me to come in and actually be who I am. Like I said before, you know, we were like thrusted together and I didn't understand any of that. You know, so coming into Narcotics Anonymous, I had a lot of different weird ideas. You know, and as I got more involved in service, what happens is our first tradition talks about being an informed member. So I wanted to be informed. You know, I still drive to be informed. I just want to be more informed about the humility that it takes to stay here. You know, and I'm not saying, man, read the literature, please. God, don't discount yourself. Read our literature. You know, because it's your literature too. It teaches us how to live. But it's more important, I found, to have an example of the literature. See, I can read a book because I'm a fairly intellectual guy. This is what gets me in trouble all the time. I'm too damn intellectual. Want to analyze every damn thing. Think where I can do it better. You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, but it's important for me, like, to have an example. So I'm like, blessed to have an example. Early on, as a newer member, I had a good example. I had a really informed sponsor. You know, and he started informing me about what it takes to stay here. You know, and anonymity is the thing that allows you to do that. So we know that anonymity means being nameless or namelessness. We understand that. You know, and I'm going to tell you something that burns me up. Because, man, don't put me on the podium. I'm going to tell you what I really think, right? So I go to meetings, right? And you'll get a newer person. And they'll say, oh, I got 24 hours. I got 30. And the first thing our dumb behinds will say is, what's your name? Their name is Attic. That's their name. That is their name. Their name is Addict. Period. We don't have to divulge that in here. My name is Addict. Period. That's what we do here. You know, nobody has to tell you who they are in here. We're not required to do that here. Take that back to your groups, please. You don't. It is not your responsibility nor your right to ask somebody what their name is, especially in a group setting. Sandra, huh? I'm talking about giving you some real good information, you know, because that's what I got, you know, and it's okay because we make mistakes and we learn from our mistakes. We don't embarrass people in here. There's no need to. We're here to make you feel welcome. That's how I felt when I got here. I was welcome. And believe me, man, I had some recovering addicts in my life, man, that, woo, good God Almighty, King, Nate, you know, I'm talking about guys, man, that they give it to you raw. I mean, they give it to you in the purest form that you can get it, especially when you step off to the left, you know. So I like really needed to share that because I hear it so much. We're just, our commonality is addicts in here, man. That's the hit right there, You know, if I don't choose to stand here, and if I came to this podium and I just tell you my name is Addict, that's more than enough. I don't have to tell you what my name is. I don't have to do that. So please take that back to your groups. But anyway, you know, as I continue on the journey, right, I had to put that in there. Y'all talk about me, whatever, I don't care. You know, and that's another part, you know, of anonymity that I've learned, because I believe in things. It doesn't matter what you believe. I believe in things. And I stand up for those things that I believe in today, wholeheartedly. And a lot of times, it doesn't make me the most popular person. But guess what? I'm not here to be popular. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because I need a personality change. I'm here because I didn't know how to stand up. That's why I'm here. So, you know, y'all have given me enough stuff in me so that I can stand up today. And it's okay for me to ask questions. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, Brian. When I don't know, I just say, hey, man, I don't know. What? What do I do? You know, I call Cliff, I don't know. You know, what do I do? What's your experience? So, you know, when we talk about personal anonymity, the 11th tradition itself can go so many different ways. And like I was sharing about, like, my experiences, because I remember getting that information and going to these groups, and it's like I'm at these groups, and I'm hearing all this misinformation go on, right? I'm talking about being judgmental. I'm talking about the stuff that anonymity with the absence of humility, right? Like, not understand. So I'm saying, y'all are doing it wrong. And I'm talking about with some clean time, right? Because I'm getting informed, man. I'm like, I'm getting this information, Jody. They don't know how to do a meeting. They don't know how to do it right, you know. And so I would go to the business meeting, man, and I would preach. Not teach, but I would preach, you know. And let me tell you what happened, man. Let's get right to it. Right? What happens is you make enemies and lose sleep. Because y'all just won't do it right. You know what I mean? I was holding on to that. You know, the book says, you know, and it does. It really says that. But if you go to It Works How and Why in the Step Working Guide, it asks you a simple question, or it talks about in the first step, it tells me how I will come up with things that are plausible or make up plausible excuses, which means it seems to be real, but I'm missing the point. See, I was missing the point. See, our objective here is to carry the message of hope, promise of freedom, that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. And you get it any way you get it. That's how you get it. So, you know, if that's being accomplished, right? If I'm in a room with recovering addicts, with our fellowship and members of our society, and we're not using, we must be getting something going on. But I didn't understand that then. See, we talk about, like the liturgy was saying, I'm moving to a place to become more selfless, to be more identifying with you rather than me. I'm coming up out of self-will as a result of the principle of anonymity with the underlying humility that's needed in order for me to stay here. Humility is an ideal state. I got to stay teachable. But I got to tell you, man, I went to meetings, man, and I was wearing them out. What? It's the middle of the meeting, and y'all having a secretary's report. What kind of stuff is that? All this group autonomy, idiot. That's what it is. You know, if you want to do that, but the fifth tradition says, you know, and it works how, why. I'm so thankful for our literature, because see, it works how, why it talks about the spiritual application of the tradition, not the law. Now, make no mistake about it. I'm going to clear this up too. Traditions are law. Make no mistake about it. If you go to the 11th step and it works how, in the basic text, it'll tell you about violating traditions. But that's not why we're here. I'm here to learn how to apply the spiritual application. I'm talking about the integrity. Like, meaning, like I said, I'm going to come and do something, then I show up and do it. You know, I'm learning how to get involved in the character. And the only way I can do that is by working the steps. Yeah, what y'all thought y'all was going to get away without handing out no steps? Oh, no. No, hell no. No. It don't work like that. You know, the book, I tell you, It Works How and Why is a powerful piece of literature, because what it talks about is it works how, which is the steps, and why, which is the traditions. My experience is, without the how, you damn sure ain't going to know the why. So you got to get involved in the step process. You know, we have to get sponsors, most of us. And let me clear that up right now, because we got a sponsorship IP, a draft of a sponsorship guide that's out now that has compiled different experiences of our fellowship with sponsorship. It's personal. You know, you do what you think you got to do as far as sponsorship. If you believe that you can sponsor yourself, okay. Okay, you know, and that's real. But that's the freedom. That's the freedom that we have here in narcotics. Now, personally, I'm clear, Nate, that I need a sponsor. I need a sponsor. I need a sponsor. I'm clear on that. Clear. With all this intellectual stuff up here, oh, me and my disease has a ball. Trust me. You know, because an hour ago, I was plotting and planning on how not to do this workshop. Because I got other things to do. I'm in service here. You understand what I'm saying? So the disease will always pop up. So I learned that now the sponsor, and this is for my IP, that's the person that guides me through the steps and our traditions. And if you really want to be more service-oriented, you'll get into our concepts. Excuse me. All of that stuff stems from personal anonymity with the underlying effect of humility. That's why it says that anonymity is the spiritual foundations of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Now, I got to tell you that today I walk in a meeting, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I hear all kinds of things today. But I'm able to be a lot more loving, caring, and kind because this 11th tradition, this personal anonymity tells me that I am to be an example. Yeah, I have to live it. So I'm not going to go to an NA meeting and say I'm an alcoholic and an addict. That's not going to happen. That is totally inappropriate. Totally. We are addicts. There's another fellowship for alcoholics. And I'm not saying that you're not welcome here. That's not what we're saying. But we want to teach you. We want to teach you the path that's been laid down. See, what you do in your personal recovery, I can do whatever I need to do. If I need to go to whatever 12-step program I need to go to, I can go. But I also have to remember how to respect the house rules. Because I don't know about you, but what I learned was I just can't go to Jody's house and urinate on her floor. Yeah, that's inappropriate. And you sure ain't coming to mine and urinating on my floor. You understand? So I had to learn how to respect the house rules. Because, again, this tradition itself tells us how we deal with the outside world. Well, I'm here to share with you that any other 12-step program is outside of Narcotics Anonymous. And while I'm on the subject, the 10th tradition, I want to make this clear, especially if you're a new person. I am not Narcotics Anonymous. I am not a representative of Narcotics Anonymous. That I need to clear that up right now. I am clearly sharing my experience, the things that I have learned in Narcotics Anonymous, and hopefully giving you what this program has done for my life. That's the 11th tradition, that power of attraction. You know, and I mean, it is so, so powerful. Today, I remember when I got here, my children wouldn't even accept my letters from treatment anymore. Because, you know, I don't know about you, right, but I remember daddy's going to treatment again. Again, you know, and when I finally start to get it and I finally start wanting to interact with them, they didn't want to have anything to do with it at all. Nothing. They did not. None of that. They didn't answer my letters. None of that stuff. And I got to share with you today, man, that my children called me today. I got a lovely son, man, he's in California. He's a graduate student, graduating this year. I got a daughter at another college down in Atlanta. And, man, they called me about all kinds of stuff. My daughter called me the other day. How do you check the oil in the car? You know, my son called me, Dad, you know, I want to negotiate with these people. You know, all of this, I'm talking about relationships have gotten better as a result of my behavior changing. You know, even when I get angry, they don't even imagine that I've used again. Woo! Ooh, that's amazing. I mean, that's the last dad's mad. You know, it's not dad's using again. No, dad's mad. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the power of attraction. I'm talking about like my brother calling me about this girl that's out there, you know, and he's like, he's in love with it, got, you know, matters of the heart. And he calls me and he asks me, what do you do? How do you do this? You know, how do I deal with this? I'm talking about the power of attraction. You know, I never put a sign on and all that. I'm not one of those people that wear a lot of NA paraphernalia. I just don't do that. And not to say I'm going to go rob a bank or anything, and people see that and you know, kind of relate Narcotics Anonymous to it. That's just not something that I do because my personal anonymity is important to me. It's my choice as to whether or not I want my clients to know that I'm a recovering addict in a 12-step program. That's my choice, not yours. And if you see me on the street, man, don't come up to me asking me about meetings and are you at it. Don't do that. Don't do that to anyone. That's a personal choice. Be mindful of these things. If you think two people hugging on the street, man, people pay attention to that stuff. You know what I mean? So if you work in a place that I'm just going to say prestigious or whatever, and you see me show up, just acknowledge me. I'll let you know whether or not I want to divulge my anonymity. Or then that's with anybody. You know, so here again, I have an opportunity to express to you what the program of Narcotics Anonymous has done for me. And at the same time, give you some information that you probably don't have. Because I don't know about you, my whole life, I came from misinformation. You know, when I went to jail, they said, don't tell on nobody, do the time yourself. You know what I mean? Bad information. Even in the house, don't you take nothing out of this house and leave it in here. And I learned how to keep secrets. You know, I learned how to keep secrets. It was practice behavior. But the day I know that secrets will kill me, it will feed my sickness, and I will use if I am not mindful of sharing what I need to share. And not that I share everything in an open meeting. That's why the literature says get a sponsor, a network of people, and if you're new, do a 90 and 90. Hell, if you just knew it, just do a 90 and 90. You got an issue, do a 90 and 90. You understand? That 90 meetings in 90 days. So we have some clear direction on how to stay clean and recover. But in order to recover, we have to first stay clean. So understand, man, that my personal anonymity is mine. It is completely and totally up to me. It's not in what I say. It is in what it is that I do. So I want to thank this committee for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. Enjoy this convention. Thanks. Thank you.
You did good, thank you. All righty. Well, let's thank Wayne for sharing his experience, strength, and hope. And for our next speaker, we will have Jody A.
Now I'm nervous. My sponsor just walked in. I'm Jody, I'm an addict.
Hey, Jody.
Very, very delighted to be here. Very nervous. Like Wayne was saying earlier, you all got tricked that this was a traditions meeting. Well, it tricked me as well, because the first time I was asked to share at another meeting, it was I thought it was on personal responsibility, and it ended up being like tradition 9, and I kind of weaseled my way out of that one, thinking, oh, I don't really know a lot about the traditions and blah, blah, blah. Well, then they said, well, okay, well, let's go ahead and do this one. I picked this one, not even realizing that it's traditions again. So I had to call Betty to find out what this was all about. Again, trying to apply my self-will. I am an addict. I've been clean for 17 and a half years. My home group is in Waldorf Bannister meeting. It's the best home group in town, in the Tri-County area, I think. If you don't have a home group, please get one. And it's been my home group since I got clean. When I got here, I didn't want anyone to know anything about me. I didn't know what I wanted, really. I knew I wanted to stop using. I knew I had to stop using, but I didn't really come here to make friends or anything like that. So I really didn't know what I was in for. But I had been in treatment for a while and been in detox and been in treatment and started to feel a little better. So by the time I got to my area and started going to meetings, I did what they told me to do. And I got a home group, and I went to 90 meetings in 90 days, and I got a sponsor, and I did those things. And then I started to feel better, and I started to put on some weight, and I started to tell everybody how to do things. I felt really good at this point. You know, I was, you know, put on some weight, lots of weight, feeling better. I wasn't using narcotics anymore. I was college educated, and they really needed my help in that home group, how to run things. I had figured out that they had gotten me to make coffee because I was the woman in the meeting, and they were all outside and talking and riding their motorcycles, and I ended up cleaning up after all of them. So thank God I am not the one that runs the meetings. Thank God it's not me and a few other people that tells NA how to do things, and whether it's at the home group level or whether it's at the region level or wherever it is, because I was at the very first convention in Annapolis. If it had been me running things, we wouldn't have number 18, believe me. It would be over, I'm telling you. I would, you know, I just, like you were talking about, Wayne, you know, it's just so, through so much of my own mistakes that I've had to learn about personal anonymity and learn about the traditions kind of without really even knowing it. You know, when I got clean, when I had gone back to work, I kind of wanted everybody to know what I was doing and this and that and the other. I mean, I didn't come out and tell people I was an addict, but I just wanted to run stuff. And I know today that really was not the best way to go, and I'm really glad that I had a sponsor and I listened to her and I didn't do that, because as it turned out, I still work at that job many years later, and there are many, many people who need this fellowship. And so I have chosen to break my anonymity with my boss, and so she knows that when there's other people who need to about recovery and need to know about NA, then she does send them to me with asking me first. And so I think I'm better served doing that than running around the hospital saying, you know, trying to, you know, promote NA. You know, dress myself up and you know, just try to promote this. I was reading, I guess it was in the 11th tradition about the about promote its attraction rather than promotion, and it's a good thing, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we'd all try to, I know I would probably try to be a movie star and out there trying to, you know, promote NA and trying to get people to get clean, and I did that for a long time until I had gotten some outside help, and I got help from a sponsor, is that it just doesn't work that way. It's just, it didn't work that way for me. There was no human power that could get me clean. It was the power of the group, the first meeting that I went to when I was in treatment. H&I brought that meeting in D.C., and it was not, I didn't know anybody there, so it wasn't anybody there that was promoting the program. It was the sparkle that was in people's eyes, and they were smiling, and they were laughing, and they had big baseball hands, and, you know, like me, and they kind of looked like me, and they were telling their stories, and I knew that they did drugs the way I did them, because I was still so full of shame. I didn't really know. I was kind of like living a double life. I didn't want people to know what I was doing. I had stopped using street drugs many years prior to getting clean, but I was shooting pharmaceutical drugs. I didn't want people to know that. So when I had gotten into treatment and I got into detox, I knew by looking at people and by what they were talking about that this was where I was going to get help. I wasn't quite sure how I arrived here or what I was supposed to do or what recovery would be for me, what steps were, what traditions were, any of that. But I knew if there was something here, the spirit of the meeting, that was going to help me to get clean, and in my case, to stay clean. I got involved in service work right away. At that time, I'm from Tri-County area, and it's a large area as far as surface area. I mean, there wasn't a lot of meetings, but we went to meetings in the what is now South Potomac area, but it was Central Maryland area then. So I had service positions in Central Maryland and in my area. And I still really believed that they needed me there because they needed me to get them all organized and tell them how things are supposed to be run. I did the same thing when I went to regionals and this and that and the other. I mean, I'm like, they're just not doing it right. They're not following Robert's Rules of Order. I mean, has anybody been to a business meeting? Does anyone know how things are supposed to be done? And I really, really know today the importance of getting my ego out of the way and my self-will and to let NA do its thing and let the group have a group conscience and let God get into everyone's conscience and make the decisions, because I would have been way, way, way off base. Something that I had read here in the 12th tradition, and this is exactly what my sponsor right there in the first row here made it safely on the bike. And this says it all. It says, anonymity in action makes it impossible for personalities to come before principles. Because we have wonderful, wonderful, strong personalities in NA. And many of them are in my home group. And it's, you know, anybody that knows Bannister Meeting in Waldorf knows there's a lot of very strong personalities in there. And we bang heads. And that meeting serves a very good purpose. We have a lot of people with court slips, which I tried to stop that for a while. Why? I don't, you know, it was like getting really crazy, and I thought, well, we probably shouldn't do court slips here. Well, that was really a stupid idea of mine. And thank God we didn't do that. That meeting is such a good meeting because everybody knows where it is. If you're in any of the jails or you're coming out of treatment or whatever, that's where people go. My family knows where to find me on a Wednesday night. Many of the people I sponsor know where to find me, and they know where the Bannister meeting is. But we have lots of strong personalities in there, and we tend to get way off track and try to make up rules and do this and do that. And God has just intervened in our group conscience so many times that we, I say not Jody, but we have made the right decisions. And that meeting is one of the oldest meetings in the Tri-County area and is still there and it still is very, very strong. Newcomers love to come to that meeting. I still love going to that meeting. I always try to make an effort to make new people feel welcome because it's one of those that there's a lot of new people a lot and you don't always see the same people a lot, but just try to make them feel welcome. And Betty has taught me that. I mean, I sometimes would go in there and just not really want to welcome anybody and just forget what it is. I'm getting off work and I just kind of slide in and sit in the chair and I have forgotten that the newcomer is the most important person in the meeting. And that we are examples of what recovery is about. And if we are doing it the way that we're supposed to be doing it, or I'm doing it the way I'm supposed to be doing it, I'll do what my sponsor tells me to do. I watch what she does. I watch how she does for people, and people don't know that she's done it. And I watch how she behaves in her home group meeting and how she behaves in her personal life and on her business life, and I try to do the same thing. And you know, on my job, I work with a lot of people in recovery. I feel very, very lucky for that, because when I first got clean, I felt like I was kind of like the trailblazer at the time. There wasn't really a lot of meetings around at the time, and there wasn't anybody that I knew of in recovery. And over the years, there's been more and more and more people, and a lot of us go to meetings, and a lot of us help each other, and we start sponsoring people, and it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't run around my work and tell everybody what I'm about and preach NA or I do anything like that. I believe that it's in my actions, and it's in the way that I carry myself, and it's in the way that I behave that I know that I'm not the same person that was shooting dope 17 and a half years ago who worked there that I am today. That was the place, the hospital, the nursing director that sent me into treatment, and I work there now. And trust me when I tell you, I am not even at all the same person. People respect me there, and I'm loved, and I don't have to tell them anything about what I'm doing, really. It's just, I think, applying the principles of this program. I just turned 50 in February, and my daughter gave me a, I know, still alive, man, still above ground. God, I can't believe it. I never, ever believed I would ever live long enough to be 50. But my daughter had planned a surprise birthday party for me. And she, you know, had family there, but she also called my work. And there were so many people that I had worked with over the years that showed up for my birthday party. And even if they weren't there, you know, they couldn't be there, when I got back to the hospital, they were talking to me about it. It was like I was so blown away. And if it had been 17 and a half years ago, believe me, that wouldn't have been happening. So it just shows me that this program works, it works in my life, and I see it work in so many other people's lives. You know, there's been times in my recovery when I'd forgotten that it was by attraction and not promotion. I wanted someone to get clean, especially when it's someone that's close to you. I was married to, or at that time he was a recovering addict, and would relapse, and, you know, darn, I was going to get him clean. Gosh, I knew the answers for him. You know, if I could get him, you know, he was deaf in one ear, and I thought if he would sit in the front of the room and he could hear better, I know he would get clean, you know. I was trying to, you know, and preach at him and preach at him. It just doesn't work that way. It did not work that way for me. My family, God bless them, they tried to get me clean. They got me in, I was in other treatment facilities. I was in and out of the mental institutions, the ones with the cigarette lighters on the wall, and a lot of different places, and I just didn't get it until I was ready to get it. And, you know, in the 11th tradition, it talks about our public policies and that we're to get information out to the public about NA, but it's not to be promoting it. It's that we are... We tell them what we're about, and we tell them what we do, and it's very simple, you know. And that's kind of what I try to do when someone is sent my way, whether it's, you know, in meetings or someone comes out of treatment and they send them my way to be their sponsor, or whether it's at work, is that, you know, I give them literature. This is what we do, and this is what we don't do. You know, we are not. Therapist, we're not anybody's doctor, we're not anybody's nurse, we're not anybody's psychologist, we're not any of those things. We are equal here, and that was really good for me to know, me personally, because I started to feel different when I, like I said, when I started feeling a little better. It was like, gosh, I was college educated and, you know, blah, 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 and this and that, and, you know, I'm different from everybody else. Well, I'm not. I did drugs and did many of the same things that everybody else did. I had to do a lot of the same things everybody else did to get clean, too. I'd work the same steps, had to get a sponsor, had to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, had to get honest. I had to. I mean, and like Wayne was saying, we don't have to do any of those things. It's not required of us. We don't even have to tell you our name. But for me and my personal recovery, I had to do those things. It didn't come overnight, but it came over time, and it started with doing a fourth and a fifth step, and then I had done some other things, and over time, and over years, I've been able to get more and more honest, and I know today what I am and what I'm not, and I think that's part of being humble, is that I know the things that I'm good at, and I know the things that I'm not so good at, and I know a little bit about who I am today and what's important to me. When I got here, I was so far removed from my spirit and from myself. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know what I didn't like. I could barely talk to you. I could hardly even read. And I mean, I used to read till I almost had a photographic memory. I mean, I was just so burnt when I got here. And I didn't know what I liked, and I didn't know what I wanted, and it just took a long time for me. But darn, when I started feeling better, I thought I could run stuff. I thought I could tell you what you liked and what you needed to do, and probably a lot of us have been through that, and you know, like Betty tells me that the traditions kind of protect us from our own personalities and from ourselves, and kind of keeps the groups together and keeps this fellowship together. Because had it but been me running anything, we wouldn't be here. Trust me, we would not be here. Over the years, I'm happy to say that much of my self-will has calmed down a lot. My excuse is I'm from Riverdale, and I just, you know, I had to fight and kick and scream and struggle, and whatever I had to do to stay alive, and then being a dope fiend, I had to do all the other stuff. And by the time I got here, I just was zinging. And I don't really have to be like that anymore. But there are times when that creeps up, especially in my home group, because I love my home group. I like it to be a certain way. I try to sit in the same seat every week. I have gotten so anal over the years, it's ridiculous. But I try to sit in the same seat, and I want to look at you funny if someone has got my seat, you know, and I want to, since I quit smoking a couple of years ago, I don't really drink coffee, and I think we should have tea, and, you know. So it just goes on, and thank God for the traditions and our group conscience and the people that say, no, Jody, we're not going to do that. And some, all the other kind of stuff that we think up in that group, that together, you know, that we keep that group going, and together we may not always like each other. Because like I said, we have really strong personalities in there. And we can really get at each other. But one thing I'll tell you, we do love each other. And we have a great deal of respect for each other. I'm not into the business anymore of tearing you down to make myself feel better. That's another thing that I really, really had to work on over the years, is that keeping my mouth shut. Lots of times when I really wanted to say, well, you know, you don't want her as a sponsor, and you don't want to be going out with him, and, you know, keeping my mouth shut. It doesn't mean that I'm not truthful. It doesn't mean that I don't answer questions when they're asked, but I don't need to start flapping my gums and tearing people down to make myself feel better. We are all important here. We are all needed. And thank God, because, I mean, look at this convention now. I'm so blown away, because I was at the first one. I was looking when I was downstairs at where they're doing the registration. I was looking at all of the shadow boxes they have there of all the t-shirts and stuff. I have the white original t-shirt. It's like one of those t-shirts you would want to do, you know, the topless dancing in. It was like really thin, one of those t-shirt contest kind of t-shirts, you know. And mine was about that tight, too, but I still have it. And it's really, really worn thin, but I still have that T-shirt. And the meetings were much smaller then. It was in Annapolis and Ramada Inn, I think. And I'm just so, and it's my area, Tri-County area, that's putting on the convention for the first time this year. And I'm just so proud of everybody that's done all the work here. I was like weirded out about having to talk about personal anonymity. Once I said I would do it, I'm like, oh, geez, now what am I going to talk about? I got to call Betty. Now I got to read. And if I've read this book once, I've read it 1,000 times, and I can't remember what's in the darn book. Let me see what time it is. If anybody is new here, this is your first time at a convention. First time at a tradition meeting, please, please, please keep coming back. That's one of the most spiritual things that I hear around here. Please keep coming back, no matter what. Please keep coming back. Because there have been times in my recovery when I was just, you know, just sitting, really know if I wanted to come back, but I did. And no matter what was going on in my life, I didn't have to use. To me, that's just beyond me. I used every single day. I could not stop using. I did not know how to stop using. No matter how I tried, I could stop shooting dope for a while because I didn't have any veins left. But I was still putting it in other ways. I could not stop. And by the time I had overdosed again and got into treatment, I was just about dead. I was 95 pounds, and I was just about dead. And so today, I just can't believe it sometimes that I am still here, 17 and a half years later, at the way my life has turned out. I turned 50, and I feel better than I ever have. I still have a couple of brain cells that still work. I can still read. I can still, you know, do a lot of things. I have a grown daughter. My daughter was 13 years old when I got here and totally out of control. And you all helped me to raise her to a wonderful young woman. I have a grandson that's 3 who is my heart. And I'm going to have another grandchild. And if you're new here and you wonder if you want to stay here, please keep coming back, because life really, 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 it's all worth it. Every single thing that I have gone through to get to where I am today has been worth it. And I have been down and around the block a few times in recovery. It's all been worth it. Just hang on. Don't pick up. Go to meetings. Get a sponsor. Call your sponsor. Talk about what's going on today. And please keep coming back. And thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Jody. The meeting is now open. If somebody want to share, we have 10 more minutes left. Nobody don't want to share?
Okay. Well, I guess we can close in the usual way.
Okay. Can we have a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you all.